Digital Coach is brought to you by Distinction Communication, where we help story and storyteller drive ideas and information.
Hi, this is Jim Endicott with Distinction Communication, and today I'm talking with Terry Keenan. Terry's the president of Climatech Building Technologies in Phoenix, Arizona. Welcome, Terry.
Well, good morning.
I've got Terry on the podcast today because he and his organization are doing some very interesting things around reinforcing personal communication excellence. But before we go down that path, Terry, I want to back up a little bit. You've been in your industry for quite a long time. What kind of changes have you seen in the last 20 years?
Well, it's interesting. Over the last 20 years, our industry has transitioned pretty significantly. 20 years ago, the industry was pretty much dominated by the large companies. And we saw a transition from that to independent contractors doing temperature control systems. And as a result, we found ourselves as businessmen historically working for larger companies, having to really look at our businesses differently and look at the market differently. And as a result, things like training and leadership development and communication skills and a whole host of areas where we used to be able to hire those skills, we're not able to do that anymore. So now we have to find ways to be creative, to hire good people, to develop good people, and to really differentiate ourselves in the marketplace.
I suspect over 20 years, too, you've sat through probably more than your share of sales presentations. What's changed and what hasn't changed in 20 years when it comes to sales presentations?
20 years ago, it was all about the close and the trial close. And so you'd get up there and you find a way to deliver a message where you'd indicate some benefits and then you'd throw a close out there. Today, it's a lot more consultative. And so we have to have much better skills to really understand not only the buyers, the buying mechanisms, the motives of the buyers, the ability of the buyers to buy, and who on their team can say yes and no. We have to change our message pretty dramatically.
So as that message transitions, have you seen the skill set evolve as quickly as the messaging has evolved, or is that a strength or weakness in your industry still?
No, it's clearly a weakness in our industry, and I've seen a change here even in the last several years where you go and you put together an estimate or a pricing proposal with a number of competitors, and then there's an oral interview. And at that oral interview, it's really a popularity contest who can communicate their message the best. Because today most of our systems are pretty similar and what they do is pretty similar. So as a result of that, you have to have these skills in order to get work. And if you don't have them, you don't get work. It's very dramatic.
Interesting. And I'm guessing 20 years ago, you were talking with very technical managers and facilities individuals. Are you finding yourself executive suite more often these days?
Oh, absolutely. The amount of money that is being spent on these systems in larger buildings, healthcare facilities, data centers, can easily get over $1 million. And while it might not be the executive of the facility that we're going into, it's clearly the executive of a general contractor, a mechanical contractor, electrical contractor, engineer, construction manager. And they're all very professional presenters and they're very professional buyers.
So a little bit more pressure for the salesperson certainly to call higher and bring an A game every time.
Oh, every time. And the skills aren't there within our industry. Generally, most of us came out of the field. And so our experience comes from actually being a technician or actually working on systems. And so we've really had to evolve over the years up to a level that's different from where we started.
Interesting. It seems like as a president, you could be investing in a lot of different training areas, but this is certainly one you place some emphasis in. Why is this a good investment?
There's a number of reasons, but I think if you actually go and do a presentation, you spend a lot of time trying to get a particular project and you go and get do a presentation and you lose it because of your presentation skills, right off the bat, there's a real strong motivator to improve those skill sets.
Yeah.
But not only that, I think we have a responsibility to grow and develop our people because they've made a commitment to us. Many of our employees have been with us 15, 20, 25 years, and we have to continue to give them skills that benefit them not only at work, but also at home. And that's what we found about the training that you've provided.
As I mentioned, we've had a chance to come in and work with your organizations a few times, but the reality is at the end of the day, we get on an airplane and we go home. What kinds of things are you doing internally to create some staying power with a skill set?
I'll tell you, Jim, one of the frustrations I've had over the years is that we invest in training, and we have to do a lot of training now because we can't hire people who are trained any longer from the larger companies, is that you do a training class, and then 2 weeks later, 3 weeks later, the skills are gone, and you've wasted money. And so when this idea came up to utilize the communication skills training, our perspective was, if we're going to do that, great, but then we have to reinforce those behaviors. And so that's effectively what we've done, is put together a program. Every 30 days, we bring the group back that went through the training with you or with your folks, and we spend 2 hours practicing and rehearsing the skills so that not only are we improving our skill sets, but we're also making those behaviors more learned and more natural, so that when we do go up and utilize them to secure work, that we're good at it.
What's been the response so far?
Well, that's actually an interesting question, Jim, because when you get up and have a training class that requires you to speak in public, typically the response is not good. That's not something that people enjoy doing. But consistently, we've probably trained over 30 people, probably closer to 40. And across the board, the feedback forms that we get back is it's the best training they've ever participated in. And the reason is, as I ask people about it, because I'm curious, because it quite frankly, intuitively, doesn't make sense to me, is that it pushes them. And when you're sitting in the training and you've done one presentation and then you know you have two or three to go, you're thinking about and you're pushing yourself to develop a skill that everybody, quite frankly, is trying to improve upon.
One of the things I've appreciated is you've thrown yourself in the mix with them. That doesn't always happen. Sometimes the senior executives involved kind of disengage themselves in the process or sit in the back, and you've got some skin in the game here too, and I think that means a lot to your people. What advice would you have for companies who are considering this kind of investment?
I think everybody looks at it as common sense. If you're going to invest, and it's a significant investment that we make into our people, into training, into development, that you reinforce those skills. And although it's intuitive, actually doing it is the biggest challenge. Mm-hmm. And so we gave that responsibility to a person in our HR group, and she owns it, and she's driving it and making sure that all of us follow through. So I think it's important that you find someone in the organization, even if it's not within your HR group, within your sales management function, or some individual who wants to own it, and then hold them accountable to make sure that it happens for whatever duration you intend to make it happen.
So let's pull this out of the sales discussion a little bit and talk a little bit about why this is so critical for organizers today to refine and just continue to work on the skill set.
A couple of thoughts there. One, communication in general is something that we all struggle with. When we happen to do employee surveys on an annual basis, and our lowest grades are always on communication, and we put a tremendous amount of emphasis towards communication internally, but we never seem to be able to improve, at least to the level that we want to. And I think that's just difficult to meet people's expectations. So to get our executive team up to speed on communication and being more effective, and to pull in a large group of people talking about communication skills as we're doing within this environment has worked well. I'll put on a second point to that as well, is that when we do go out and we interview for work, no longer do our customers want to hear from salespeople giving a sales pitch. They want to hear from the executive that's responsible for the project. They want to hear from the operational folks who are going to deliver and engineer and design the project. All of those people really have never practiced or deployed speaking skills in a professional fashion. So this is something that we're having to do across the organization, because that's where our industry is going, and that's the expectations our clients are putting on us.
Yeah. Well, Terry, thank you for your time today. You are the leader of a very successful company. You've made some great decisions there. You continue to grow and expand your business, so you're doing some good things. Thank you for your time and your observations. Very much appreciated. If you've got some questions for Terry on how his organization is building this infrastructure to continue to reinforce presentation skills excellence and personal communication excellence, you can contact Terry at terryk@climatec.com. Thank you, Terry, for being a part of the podcast today.
You bet. Thanks, Jim.
For more information on Distinction Communication, visit us at distinction-services.com.